Let me ask you to take your Bibles to turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. You weren't far from it while ago. It's on page 406 in your pew Bible if you need that. The only problem with reading from that while ago is my eye doctor told me one day it had something to do with my age. And that print seems to get smaller and smaller for some reason or another. I don't know why, but it does. Last time I bought a Bible to preach from, I found one with a bigger print on it. But as you turn to Psalm 145, let me tell you this about the psalm, and hopefully it helps you as we examine this psalm today. Psalm 145 is an acrostic psalm. It is based on the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, some of you are really smart and you're going to look and you're going to see there's 21 verses. He left out one. Basically, it equates to our letter N. He skipped over it for some reason or another. Maybe he couldn't find a word. I don't know. But, he excluded that one. And the intent of an acrostic psalm, is to give praise to God for a world that is well arranged, quite literally from A to Z. To praise God for His works that He's done, how He's assembled the world, how He's put everything together. Psalm 145 is the final psalm of David. But it's also the overture to the concluding section, these last five psalms. 146 to 50, of which we read the last one a little bit ago. Psalm 150, verse 6, uses basically the same language as Psalm 145, verse 21, and together they create a bracket around things. They group it together, is what they're doing. And that's a good principle if you're reading in the Scriptures, and you see a statement, and later you see another statement that says pretty much the same thing. The authors of Scripture are using those as an intent to set off a bracket to assemble a section of Scripture and to say, here, this is a section. And you can look at it as a whole, and that's in part what they're doing. So just to help you in your Scripture reading when you see those things, and you'll see it in a variety of places throughout Scripture. Now, I want you to know Psalm 145 is so important to the Jewish people that the Talmud, instructions for the Jewish people, written long ago, says that Psalm repeated three times a day. That's the value, that's the esteem placed on this psalm. And the title at the beginning of it literally says, praise. So let me ask you to stand together for the reading of God's Word and hear together the Word of the Lord. I will extol You, my God, O King, and I will bless Your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless You and I will praise Your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Your works to another and shall declare Your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of Your majesty and on Your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of Your awesome acts, and I will tell of Your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of Your abundant goodness, and will shout joyfully of Your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. All Your works shall give thanks to You, O Lord, and Your godly ones shall bless You. They shall speak of the glory of Your kingdom and talk of Your power, to make known to the sons of men Your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of Your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to You and give and You give them their food in due time. You open Your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless His holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord, and you may be seated. We are to declare that the Lord is great. To declare that the Lord is great. All of us need to exalt God, the King. To exalt God as kings. It begins with me. I must do so. I cannot stand and preach that this is what we should do and not do so myself. And if I adopt these words and use them as my own, it says, he begins with in verse 1, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. I must do so. It is me and my relationship with God that I am to give praise to Him. But we also have whole groups doing so. It's not just an individual, but yet it says to us that we would have one generation will tell of the greatness of God to another generation. Senior adults to youth. Children to their parents. One generation to another. Ryan and his family were crawling up on the bed one evening for family prayer time. And as they were doing so, Ryan asked his son, then 2-year-old Brody, he said, to whom do we pray? Jesus was the answer. And Ryan asked him, well, why do we pray to Jesus? Because He loves us. Because He loves us. There, a son giving praise and speaking of the greatness of God, one generation to another, from a son to his father, one generation can tell it to another. And we need to be able to do those things. I encourage you to listen to another generation and listen to them speak of the greatness and the goodness of God in those things that happen. That generation may have some profound insights that will help you see God more clearly and worship Him more dearly. And then you can share with them in return. You can speak to them out of your own experience and of what you have seen as you share that. And that can be from a senior to a young one or a young one to an old one. It can go both directions. And we help one another as we declare the praises, the greatness of God from one generation to another, as we help one another as groups. One of the things I thought about as I was preparing for this and thinking about this sermon is, you know, even in our own church, we need that. We need those of you who have been around the longest. We don't have any charter church members, but those of you who have been around the longest to share with us who have not been around as long, how you have seen God work across the years at Emmanuel, to see the things that God has done in people's lives, how God has worked in people's hearts and lives in a variety of ways, salvation, calling, guidance, direction, restoration, all of those types of things. Perhaps how God worked when you went from the original building to another building. You know those stories, how those things happen, what you have seen God do, and share that, because that's a part of our shared history. It's a part of us seeing how God has worked together with the people known as Emmanuel Baptist across the years, and stories that we need to know because they'll need to continue to be shared from one generation to another. So those of you who know some of those stories, you need to share them with us, and your pastor will be glad to hear them anytime, because I want to know them. And as we praise God, it says that we get to extol the name of God forever. We get to lift up the name of God forever. Can you begin to think about that for just a moment? Most of us really have a hard time grasping forever. You see, we are rather limited by this thing right here. You know, we can, you know, kind of control time, but, you know. We think we can control time. You know, for instance, this is a public service announcement. Next Saturday night, it's fallback night. You know, you get that hour we lost in the spring. I don't know why we have to lose it. That's personal opinion. But anyway, and you know, we think we can control time and figure out how it fits in the son so that we can have as much of it as we want, all those kinds of things. So we don't really grasp forever. Forever. On and on and on and on. Can you begin to think about that and grasp what that is like? We get to lift up the name of God forever. But you know what? It starts with praising Him today. It starts today. It starts with a daily practice of giving praise to God. And you know, we might as well practice praising God here because that's what we're going to do in heaven. That's what we're going to do in heaven. We're going to spend eternity praising God. I don't know all the details about heaven. You know, I know occasionally we get people who say they've been to heaven. They come back and they tell us a little bit. But quite frankly, really and truly, you get there. We don't have any first-hand reports what all we're going to do in heaven. We'll have to find out when we get there. And some of you don't like surprises. Well, that's going to be the surprise of all eternity. You get there, you're just going to wait and see. We have all of these things we talk about. That Peter's going to meet us at the pearly gate. I'm not looking for Peter. I'm looking for my Savior, Jesus. I'll find Peter. I can talk to him. I want to know how his foot tasted because he put it in his mouth a lot. But I got a long time to talk to Peter. I can talk to him later. I got a long time to talk to Moses. I want to hear some of those stories. I want to hear some of those stories. All of those things. I'm not getting there looking for Peter or Moses or John. I'm getting there looking for Jesus. Why? Because that's the one we get to give praise to. And we get to give praise to God Almighty. And we get to focus our attention there. That's what we get to do. Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful that will be. So he says here he gives us some instruction. How do we do that? Well, we meditate on God's mighty acts. We contemplate the mighty acts of God because that prepares us for praise. We think about what has God done. As we do that, it prepares us for praise to contemplate God's glorious splendor. To contemplate God's glory. I mean, the beauty of a sunset. You know, we have enough clouds up here. That sun's going down and it starts hitting on those clouds. Oh, wow, that orange and all of those different hues. And the amazing thing to me about God is He does all of that today and creates a masterpiece and He'll just do it again tomorrow. And create another one. Or the sunrise. Or the squirrels. You may not like them, but the squirrels that scamper around your yard. Just think about that. God, you know, made this little bitty creature that can jump really high and can chew anything. I know that's the part we don't like, but God made them that way. I mean, you just begin to think about that. The shriek of an excited teenage girl. I know what that sounds like. You didn't get to squeal at the Knox house. You just didn't get to do it. But occasionally you get the shriek of an excited teenage girl. Oh, God made that. I'm glad He didn't make mine do it very often, but God made that. The joy of a newborn baby. The report of health and healing and wholeness and getting well, all of those things. To contemplate the glorious splendor of God and the things that God has done. Oh, I find so much of it in nature. I enjoy getting to be outdoors to see the things that God has done, the animals God has made. You don't think God isn't creative. Just look at some of the creatures. How in the world did you come up with, who in the world comes up with a porcupine? And you create that and you make that. A flat-billed platypus. I mean, who comes up with that? The largest mammal swims around in the water. How do you do that? A bird that soars on the wind and just lofts and lofts and finds the draft and never flaps its wings. It just keeps soaring and lifting and moving. And I didn't get here by accident. God made all of that. Contemplate the glorious splendor of our God, and it's limited by our own mind, our own understanding, of course. consider the power of God's awesome acts. If you need some help considering the awesome acts of God, just go to Genesis 1 and start reading. There was nothing. There was nothing. And God made all of this. In universe upon universe, and God, there was nothing, and God, by the power of His spoken word, God brought it into being. Wow, that's just incredible, all that God does, and God's, how God formed all of that and made all of that, and the process that God used, yes, He speaks it into existence and brings it about, and all that God has done with that. I mean, you just look through the pages of Scripture and go through, see the mighty work of God, see the power of God's awesome acts, and, you know, Moses and God's children at the Red Sea, and He parts it and they walk across on dry ground. You know how muddy a creek bed can be? You know how muddy a dry creek bed can be? And you're going to send all of God's children across a sea and it's on dry ground. That's just about as amazing as the parting of all the water. It all got dry and they walked across on dry ground. Wow. Story of an axe head that floats. One of my favorite ones. Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Doesn't say he died. It just said he was no more. Wow. Wow. Oh, we could go through and we could go through. And here's the grandest one of them all. 3 days after Jesus died, they showed up at the tomb. The Sabbath is over. It's time to properly anoint His body. And He's not there. Why? Because the angel said, He's not here. He's alive. He is risen. And then a little bit, he calls them by name. A little bit later, they see Him. He keeps revealing Himself. And He says, oh, finally, I've got to go and be with the Father so I can send the Spirit to be with you. There's an empty tomb. Consider God's mighty hand and God's awesome works. And we give praise to God for all of those things. The Bible says, though, it's impossible to search out the greatness of God. It's impossible to search out the greatness of God. That God's greatness is unsearchable. You can't know it all. But what if you tried? What if you tried? What if we try to know the greatness of God? And as we discover it, we tell God how great God is. God will be blessed and we will be blessed. Now that's what we are to do. We are to bless God. We are to declare the character of God, He tells us in verses 8 and 9. In verses 8 and 9, we see some of the oldest theological assertion about God. Listen to these verses. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. Those are based on Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, when God revealed Himself to Moses. It describes who God is for them. There's no big fancy theological terms here. You know, ones like omniscient and omnipresent and the like, all of those great fancy words that we think we know a little bit and you get to use them. There's none of that. It's just down to earth, solid terms. This is who our God is. As a college student attending the Oklahoma Baptist Evangelism Conference one year, Pastor Frederick Haynes was there preaching. He tells a story about going to visit an old man in his church. Having a good visit and good conversation, and the old man was talking about his journey with God and all the things that God had done. And somewhere in the midst of the conversation, the old man started talking about the spiritual alphabet, and Dr. Haynes began to ask him, well, what do you mean about the spiritual alphabet? And he says, well, do you know the alphabet? Yes. Well, start reciting it. Pastor Haynes was a little concerned. He thought maybe this guy was questioning his intelligence and, you know, whether he knew the alphabet. So he finally said, A. And the man answered a statement from Scripture based on the letter A. He didn't say anything else. And he said, well, do you know more of the alphabet? Yeah. B. Do you know more? Yeah, C. And he said, he kept going and he kept repeating what that old man said. Oh, and then just that crescendo. By the way, Pastor Haynes is a black man, Whoo, he was in his moment and he was going and he took all those Oklahoma Baptists and got us whipped all up and we were all excited. He kept on and he finally thought, he said, I got the old man. I got him. I'm going to stump him right here. He got to X. And the man said, except! He picked up his Bible and he walked away. Later, my college roommate and I were at the conference together. My father was there as well. And we got to have a chance to visit with Patrick and the pastor Haynes for just a few moments. And we said, hey, you stopped with letter X. You didn't finish. I was tired, he said. What if? What if we gave praise to God until we were tired? The Lord's character is gracious. Oh, the Lord's character is gracious. This is a word that we find, it's used only of the Lord. It's not thrown around to others. You know, we sometimes talk about how awesome God is, but we're going to throw that word out on TV this afternoon about some numbskull football player who will make one catch and the next one he's going to drop. But that previous play was awesome, but not compared to God. We use words around with others that we would use with God flippantly. They don't do that in the Scriptures. Gracious is used to describe God. They don't use it around for others. Merciful. Again, a term that's used to describe God and implies that forgiving relationship. Implies that God is merciful and God forgives. You ever had those times you go to talk to God and because Satan's beating you up about some sin that you've already talked to God about and you go back to God and you start saying to God, oh God, I'm so sorry about that. And God's going, what are you talking about? God says, what are you talking about? I remember you asked me about that. I forgave you. It's gone. Oh, God's merciful to us. God is slow to anger. Woo! Ha! Ha! I'm thankful. Are you? Because if He weren't slow to anger, I'd be in trouble. Why? Because I'm hard-headed and I'm stubborn and I do some of the same things over and over and over and over. God's slow to anger and long-suffering. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God's not quick-tempered? Aren't you glad God doesn't lose His temper easily? Yay, I am. I don't know if you are. I am. God is great in His loyal love. Loyal love means that He's extended His covenant to us. He has promised His love to us. He has expectations for us in return, but He loves us and He is loyal to us and He's going to stay with us and He's going to stay with you. And it says God is good to all. You know, it's kind of hard to exclude with the word all, but God is good to all. Maybe even to some folks you just assume God not be good to, or you don't know why God should be good to them. But you know, the catch is if God wanted to start excluding, He might exclude me and not somebody else I think He should exclude. So He just says, God is good to all. He's not going to exclude anyone. His mercies are over all of His works. Give God praise for His works. God's works. Give thanks to God. You just look at the works of God. You look at the majesty of a rolling sea. You look at the grandeur of mountains that are built up on mountains and they reach toward the skies. All of those things give praise to God. We bless the Lord for His works. We bless the Lord that God's life, that Jesus comes into a heart and life and changes it and redeems it, forgives it of sin, washes it up, cleans it and purifies it and sets it on a new path. That God does those things. That God did that in my life as a 5-year-old boy, before I got into all that other wretched stuff, God says, look, I'm going to do a mighty work of salvation. I'm going to save you and keep you from all of this other stuff. And at the same time, my friend Bob Turner preached at the evangelism at the convention yesterday. Bob's one of those ones because his life was different than mine. He got in all of that stuff and God said, let me do a mighty work of salvation in your life. Let me get you out of all of that stuff, set you up, clean you up, purify you, because that's what my love and grace does. Whether you're 5 before you get into it or you're 55 after you were there, God cleans you up, sets you up. Woo! God's good. Amen. We ought to give Him some praise. And guess what? God's work will last. God's work will last. God's kingdom and His kingdom is everlasting. God's kingdom is enduring. His dominion will last forever. It's not some little bitty thing that's going to fall apart overnight. No, none of those kinds of things. Earthly kingdoms, we set them up and they fall. We set them up, they may last for a while and they can crumble. We think they may be enduring, they'll last forever and ever. And no, they'll crumble because of our sinfulness and our corruptness and the things that we put into them. We destroy them, but God's kingdom is lasting and God's kingdom's going to last for over and over and over, and it will endure for all generations. You don't have to worry about God getting knocked off of His throne. Nobody can challenge Him. Nobody's got His power. Nobody else can do those things. God's in place. We give God praise for those things. And He is specific in the ways that He treats us, His subjects. And we get to declare the righteous ways of the Lord, it says to us in verse 17. God's righteous ways impact the needs of all. God sustains those who are fallen. You feel fallen today. Not a failure, but a falling. You stubbed your toe. Maybe you've scraped your knee. Maybe you've fallen flat on your face. God sustains. Be reminded of that today. God sustains. God can open His hands of blessing upon you. God satisfies the desires of every living thing. We pour those desires out to Him. God hears us, and God can meet every need. God's righteous ways answer to those who call Him, it says to us in verses 18 to 20. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. What wonderful words for us. God hears the cry and God saves. God hears our cry and God reaches out and ministers to us and cares for us. God keeps those who love Him. We get to declare the righteous ways of God. We praise God. We get to tell others. We get to tell it from one generation to another. We get to tell it from one brother to another, from one sister to another, from husband to spouse, from parents to children, from children to parents. We get to declare the praises of God to one another, but you need to declare your personal praise to God, the King. We are to declare the greatness of God, Almighty King. To declare the greatness of God, here's the question is, are you prepared? What if you go to lunch today? Some of you are going to go out to eat. The server says, "Hope you're having a good day." "Yep, wonderful day." What if she says, "Why? Why are you having a wonderful day?" What are you going to say? Some of you roll out of bed and your feet hit the floor. You stand up, you smile. It's a good day. But do you have words for it? Have you meditated on the greatness of God? Have you meditated on the character of God? Have you meditated on the righteous ways of God? When we do that, there's always words to be able to flow from our lips to give praise to God. So, I want to give you a challenge today. Uh-oh. This is homework. Some of you are thinking, "I'm done with school." No, you're in God's school. God's always teaching and training. So I'm going to give you some challenge today. You might even be able to guess what it is. I want you to write out your own praise, declaring the greatness of God as King, and I want you to use the 26 letters of our alphabet. Don't use the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, because I'd have to teach it to some of you to start with. Most of you. I want to encourage you to focus your themes on the declaration of praise that we find in Psalm 145. Declare that the Lord is great. Declare the character of the Lord. Declare the righteous ways of the Lord. Now I want to challenge you to do that. I want to ask you to do that. Some of you may have a devotional journal and you're going to write it out in there. Some of you might even want to bring it to me and let me read it. I'd love to read it if you write one. If you'd share it. It may be just personal between you and the Lord, but I want to encourage you. Would you write out and declare your praise to God? You're going, "Pastor, it's not even November yet. We haven't even gotten to Thanksgiving. What are you doing?" Praise of God is not limited to a holiday on the calendar. We're just going to get you warmed up for Thanksgiving. We're going to get us warmed up as God's people to see the greatness and the grandeur of our God who loves us. God who loves you. And maybe you need to hear that and be reminded of that today. God loves you. And they say, oh, Pastor, you know me but this much. You don't know all the junk and all the junk and all the junk in my life. Why does God love me that much? Because the Scripture says God loves you. And God knows everything about you. If He knows the number of heads on hair on your head, that's easier for some of us than others. But if God knows all the hairs on your head, God knows everything about your life. If God knows when a sparrow is going to fall from the sky today and never fly again, God knows you. And God loves you. God loves you. God desires that wonderful relationship with you. So I want to ask you, would you declare to God His praises and His greatness? Would you take that challenge? Would you do that? Commit yourself to a life of praise of God, your King. But it may begin by saying, you know, God, today I need to reaffirm my commitment to You that You are my King and I live for You. Our Heavenly Father, we